Well, it's good to be here again.
You guys are here.
It's good to...
I still got this thing on, right?
All right. It really is nice to preach to people.
But you know what? The good thing about inviting a street preacher is I'll probably preach as hard as if no one's here. You know, lots of times we go out there and there ain't nobody out there but just a couple of dogs, and we give them as much as we can. Open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 in verse 18 says, and therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he be exalted, and he may have mercy upon you, for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for another day you've given us, Lord, for this time that we're meeting here in this place, in your place, in your name. Lord, I know you're here. You've given us that promise. Lord, I know that you love this church. I know you love your church. And Lord, I just ask that you help us tonight. That you help me tonight, Lord, to preach and just say exactly what you want me to say, Lord, and help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Lord, I just pray that you just clear our minds tonight and help us to forget things that are going on outside. Our problems and things, just help us to leave them outside, Lord. We want you to talk to us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the thing that struck me as I was reading this is, blessed are they that wait for him. You know, waiting, I mean, I know it's everywhere. Nobody likes to wait. You know, in Mexico where we are, it's hilarious. I don't know if it's that way in all the other countries in the world. I have no idea. But in Mexico, when you stand in line, lots of times Mexicans don't stand in line. They just cut right in front of you like you're not even there. You know, I was at a grocery, well, not even a grocery store, like a Stop and Go, right before we came up, and I was standing there, and you know, we had like two people in front of me and a couple of people behind me, and a lady just walks right up. I mean, just like, and they're a little sneaky. You know, because we're all waiting there, and I mean, it's not no big mystery. I'm not hiding behind a refrigerator. I mean, we're all standing there. And this lady comes in and she says, oh, do you have a phone card? And, you know, the guy says, well, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. And like, she just starts taking out her money and is going to buy one. And I'm thinking, I'm looking around and we're right here. Yeah. You know, but it's a lady and she's pregnant and I don't want to say anything. And so, well, you know, whatever, you know, but that's exactly how we are. We don't want to wait. We think we're more important than the other guy.
Yeah, that's right.
You know? It really is. I love it when I come to the States and I drive. I know you guys don't like San Antonio rush hour or traffic, but I don't mind it. I really like it. You know why? It's in order. I mean, you got a lot of traffic here, but it's orderly traffic. I mean, it's just beautiful. All these cars, bumper to bumper, and the only people that are on the side are the ones that have a flat tire, or if they're getting pulled over by a police officer. Those are the only people. You know, we come up on I-10, on I-10 from Bernie, and we're gonna merge to the on 410 to come to church. And that merge line, I mean, it starts like maybe 2 miles or something. And people actually, I mean, we know where it is, and we get in line. You know? And we're 2 miles away. We're thinking, I was thinking, wow, this is just great. Yeah. If we were in Mexico, boom, everybody would be jam-packed right to the front because they want to get there first. They're more important. They don't want to wait. But you know, that's exactly how we are lots of times. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait in lines. We don't want to wait at traffic lights. You know, I know up here we're pretty good at it. Although I saw a person in Bernie the other day run one. I couldn't believe that. But in Mexico, so common. In Toluca, where we are, oh, forget it. I'm serious. It's just to adorn the city, the lights. They're just pretty lights, you know. They turn green, yellow, and red, and it doesn't mean nothing. It's incredible, you know. And not only do just the normal people do it, but the police do it. And they're not in a hurry. I mean, you see they're not in a hurry. They got their donut and their coffee and they're driving. We know they're not in a hurry. I said in Mexico, not here, brother. Calm down. In Mexico. Don't want to get a police officer mad at me. I just did. But you know what? We do have a problem with waiting. It's tough sometimes. You know, fast food, we want it fast. And the faster the better. You know? I told you that story right this past mission conference where I went to Walmart and I'm going to develop a roll of film, and it turns out I gave them a blank roll, and you know, the one time it happens, I blow up, you know, and anyways, it turns out bad, and I leave, and that girl ends up coming to our meeting, and I don't remember her, and it finally dawns on her, you're that guy. You know, I was just really impatient. I didn't want to wait. I didn't, you know, but you know what? I'm sitting there at McDonald's, and I pull up, and we just ordered French fries and a shake. That's it, you know? And so I'm there in Mexico, there in Toluca before we left, and I pull up, and then of course the people in front of me, they ordered for an army, so there's no more fries. Oh man, does it just only happen to me? Or when you get in line at the grocery store, do you happen to pick the one that the person needs a price check? Oh good night, I always pick those lines, but there I am, and they say, can you please move up to the front, and we'll bring your fries right out. I know how this is going to turn out. Well, there I go. All mad, you know. I'm thinking, I can't believe this. They don't have French fries? I mean, this is McDonald's. And then the other car behind me, I'm looking out my mirror. You know, I'm thinking, okay, they better not give that person any French fries. But I'm here first. And sure enough, they hand that next truck a big old bag, and I see the French fries sticking right out. I'm thinking, I'm right here. And of course, Lauren's in the back. Dad, that person might end up coming to the meeting. All right, I'll just wait and be happy about it. You know the problem with waiting? You know what the real problem with waiting is? Is you gotta wait. That's the problem with waiting. Yeah, you just got to wait. You know, God says right here, blessed. Didn't he say that? I mean, just the words that he picks out, and he says, blessed are all they that wait for him. There's a blessing in waiting. And I know all these little things that I've described, we can't see the blessing there. What blessing is there to be late, you know, for something because you know, they don't have their French fry machine working or whatever it is. You know? But I think God's talking totally different. I don't think he cares too much about French fries. But I think he wants us to wait on him. And there is a blessing to wait on God. You know, I'm sure that there's somebody, that there's many people here who have things that they're waiting for. You know, I talk to young people. We just had a youth camp in Mexico. A few of your youth went up there to the youth camp. I think we had about 100 young people there at the youth camp. What a blessing to see all those kids. But you know what? Some of them are older. They're not as young as they were before. You know, they're in their early 20s and they think, we're just really old. You know, life is passing me by. I'm 22 years old and brother, I'm just not married and you're 22. I mean, what are you doing? Well, you know, I'm trying to serve God and I'm going to school and you know, I'm going to church and I'm here and I'm excited. Man, live it. That's life. You gotta wait. You want to get married? Yeah, I want to get married. Wait. Why are you gonna rush it?
Yeah.
Why don't you wait on the Lord?
Amen.
You know, there's probably people in this room who are about to make some big decisions. There's people who are not in this room are probably about to make some big decisions.
That's right.
You know? There's probably people saying, should I stay in this church or go? That's a big decision.
Yep, that's right.
With long time consequences.
Amen.
You know, I think about people in this room, and I know in this room there's people waiting for friends and family to get saved. And we're waiting. And it's not happening. I know people who are the only person in their family that are saved. And that's hard. That's hard to go home to a house that is full of unbelievers. And not only that, but the only fellowship they have with believers is at church. It gets hard. It's hard waiting. You know, we do want our family members to get saved. We do want them to come and know the Lord.
Amen.
We do want that. But you know what? We can't give up. Right now, at this moment, well, it's already past 7, but at 7 o'clock, my mother was praying for me. My mom saved.
Praise the Lord.
My sister was praying for me. My sister saved. I got 3 nieces that are praying for me right now. They're saved. In the last 2 years.
Praise the Lord.
Blessed are all that wait. Yeah.
Amen.
We are blessed. But we got to wait on the Lord. It doesn't always... It ain't always, and it's probably hardly ever, work out the way you want it to work out. And to tell you the truth, I don't want it really to work out the way I want it to work out because it's probably not going to last. I'd rather let God do it. And God definitely has the upper hand in this. But you know, we're waiting also, I think, this week. I think we want some things done in our lives. Don't you want things done? I mean, I think that's why you're here. Because I personally could think of a lot of things that I could probably be doing on a Monday night. You know, lots of things. But I think we're here because we want God to meet us.
Amen.
Meet with us. We want God to stir us up. We want God to point some things out. But you know, waiting is hard. And I just want to point out just 3 things as far as waiting, because I think we need to be informed about what this waiting is all about. Because as we all know, when we wait in line, when we're being bothered by incompetence or whatever else that causes us to wait, we get frustrated because we don't know what the point is. Why are we waiting? Why am I still here? You know, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to go do something. I'm not going to stand in this line. I'm going to switch lines. And you switch line and you get right up there and a lot faster. Yeah, yeah, I picked the better line. And then they call the supervisor because they're gonna count the money because they have too much money they need to cash out or whatever. Oh, how long does that take? I don't think the answer is switching lines. The answer is not going somewhere else. I think God has the answer. I think when He says you got to wait on Him and no one else. But you know, the first thing about waiting and, you know, like I said, the problem with waiting is that you got to wait. I think we have to know, what to expect while we're waiting. And the first thing that we need to understand is we have a choice. There is a choice. And when you read this chapter, it's talking about waiting on God or going and trusting into Egypt. What are you going to do? Are you going to wait on God or are you going to go back in the world? Are you going to trust God or are you going to do it on your own? Well, you know, there is a choice. And I think we have to be aware of this, that we need to make this choice and we need to understand that our God is faithful.
Yes.
You know? I mean, He does have a history with us, doesn't He?
Yes.
I mean, we can look in the lives of people that we know personally and we can see how God has blessed them because they've waited.
Yes.
You know, I think about this king, Hezekiah. Incredible. I think this guy was a pretty good guy.
Yep.
I mean, it's incredible that in his lineage, you know, there wasn't too many good guys, you know. But I think about his great-great-grandfather, Uzziah. That guy did some really incredible stuff.
Amen.
You know, I think we need to look at the history that we have as far as not only in us. When we make this choice, we need to look around and I think we need to say, what has God done? What can God do for me if I stay with Him? If I just wait? Well, you know, God has proven Himself over and over in this book.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen. God only wants good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, doesn't He say over there in Isaiah chapter 1, come now? Let's reason together. Reason. God's a reasonable God. Let's turn over there to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. I just want to look at this king. I think it's important that we look at this. Second Chronicles in chapter 26. The reason why I think this is an incredible story about how God worked in this guy's life, he was 16 years old. And he ruled for 52 years. I mean, this guy was amazing the way God blessed him and the things that he did. And he was just so knowledgeable, just waiting on God. It was God that did it. I just want to, several things stuck out to me. And I think it's important for us to look at. And look what it says in verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah. After that, the king slept with his father. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years. Look what it says in verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah. It says, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper.
Amen.
As long as he sought God, he had prosperity. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think I want to be prosperous. I really do. You know, and I think we desire, all of us desire to be prosperous, don't we? I think we do. I mean, not only in material things, but more importantly, spiritually. You know, I know some Christians who walk like they're walking on clouds. They're just happy. And the most incredible thing about it is I know some Christians who are going through some pretty tough times and they look like they're pretty happy. Looking for God, seeking God, man, I want to prosper. Amen. I think we need to examine and we need to look at the choices that we have. We can either be walking in this world, and if we're going to have trials. Everybody has trials, isn't that so?
That's right.
Even rich people have trials. I mean, sure, you know, a billionaire might, if the stock market crashes, he loses maybe a few million dollars. And for us, we're thinking, man, that's a whole bunch, but there's pennies to him. Well, maybe not pennies, but it's a little bit. He's not like, you know, destitute. He has a whole bunch still. But you know, you talk to him and it's not pennies and it's a pretty big deal. You know, rich people, I guarantee you, they don't like to lose their money.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a little bit.
That's right.
They like to keep everything they have and possibly make more money. But you know what? We think trials, man, I got too many trials. But you know what? I would rather be going through some trials with God, seeking God, than going through trials without God.
Yeah, that's right.
I would much rather have that. But he sought for the Lord, and as long as he was seeking God, God looked down on him and he said, I'm going to prosper you. Look what else it says. It says in verse 10, also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel. For he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men. They went out to war by bands, according to the number of their account, and by the hand of Jeiel, the scribe, and Messiah, the ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. The whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor here, 2,600. And under their hand was an army, 300,000, 7,500, that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. You know what else he had? Man, he had success.
Yeah.
He built towers in the desert because he had a bunch of cattle. Who builds something in the desert? You know, but he goes out and builds because he's got a whole bunch of stuff and he knows God's going to prosper him because he seeks after God. And he goes and he's digging wells and he has wells out there. You know, I think it's a lot better being on God's side than being in the world. Especially if you're a child of God.
Yes.
You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that if we're children, God is going to chastise us.
Yes.
If we're not walking right. So, in my mind, if we go and we choose the world, and if we go and we go back to where God took us from, you think really he's going to prosper you? You think you're going to get a blessing? I think if you do have blessings, it's all you. It ain't going to amount to much. I mean, I know people are prosperous. I know a lot of bad people have a lot of money. But I don't think God gives it to them. I think they got to fight and claw their way to get everything they have. No, I'd rather serve God and let God prosper me. I think that'd be a whole lot better. But not only that, this guy had wisdom. You know, God gives wisdom. He gives intelligence. Look what it says here. Look what it says here in verse 13. 14, it says, "And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and aberjons." How do you say that? Me neither. I looked that up on dictionary.com and I wanted to get the pronunciation and it didn't have it. I have no idea what that is. I think it's like a armor or something or other. But anyways, and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. Marvelously helped. That's God.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the intelligence. This guy invented weapons.
Yeah.
And it said here engines, and I don't think it was like motor engines. I think it was some type of military something. But he built it. He thought of it. Amen. He put it together. You know, we have so much talent in this room.
Yeah.
We really do. We got some smart kids in this room.
Yeah.
We really do. It's amazing to me, you know, the kids that we have that have finished college, are going to college, aspire to go to college. Last night we went out to dinner, Adam went out with us. And I was asking Adam about his job and, you know, taking pictures of checks, and Adam was just talking up a storm about all this computer stuff. And to tell you the truth, you know what I felt like? You know that Charlie Brown show when it comes out on TV, and when they talk to the adults and they always go wah 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 wah. That's what I was. I didn't understand anything he was saying, but it sounded really cool. Whatever he was saying, and he knew exactly what he was talking about. And man, I mean, we got into fraud. We got, yeah, and they do this, and then I have to do this, and then I have to do Java something or another. And I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Wow, what wisdom. What intelligence, man, to pick all that stuff up. And you know what's even more thrilling? Adam is serving the Lord.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
He's using his God-given talents for God.
Amen.
Just waiting on the Lord. What's God going to do with Adam? He's going to have to wait. And while he's waiting, he's just going to serve him. You know, people ask me, how do you know what God wants you to do? I said, well, that's a tough one. You know?
Right.
I remember Bill telling a story one time, and somebody asked him, how do you know, Bill, that you were called to be a missionary? He said, I don't think I was ever called. And what? What's going on? And then Bill explained it, obviously. He said, no, when Joe West was here and he was preaching, and he said, we want volunteers. And Bill said, well, I'm going to volunteer. Now, I think Bill's called. I really do. But you know what? You just got to do what you know and what the book says.
Amen.
While you're waiting.
That's right. Amen.
You know? You want to know what God's will for you in life is? Well, I'm not too sure what it is, but I know some things. I know the word says over there in Hebrews chapter 10, not forsaking the assembly.
Yeah.
I think that's the will of God.
Amen.
You know, I think we should be studying the word. Didn't it say over there in Timothy? To study,
right.
You know, I think over there in the Bible, it says we need to exhort one another. I mean, there's lots of things. You can just open the Bible and start reading the Bible and do what you know God wants you to do. That simple.
Right.
And then while you're doing it, I guarantee you God will show you what He wants you to do.
Amen.
But we don't want to wait. We want God to tell us right now. I want to know right now. So what you're asking is this. God, tell me what you want me to do. That way I can tell you no if I don't like it. Ain't that what we're at? What we're really telling them? Let me know how this thing's going to turn out before I get really invested in it. Well, you know what? God doesn't work that way. I think He wants you invested. That way, because once you're invested in something, then God says, this is what I want you to do. And you go, I'm already invested. Yeah. I'm here, man. I can't go back.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going to do it. I'm already here. You know, I think God has blessed us in so many ways. Egypt. That's the other choice. We can be with the Lord and seek Him and He can bless us. Or we can choose Egypt. Look what it says. Turn back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 30. In verse 1 it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord. They take counsel, but not of me. And they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. They walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. You got a choice. God's saying, you can come to me, and I'll give you good advice. I'll give you good protection. I will prosper you. I can even make you smart. And we do need wisdom, don't we?
Amen.
I mean, we really need wisdom. You know? I wish I had wisdom growing up. And by what I mean by that is people around me telling me where I should go, what I should do. Now, I know it's tough talking to a young person because sometimes they don't always listen. But you know, a lot of stuff sticks. A lot of things that I hear my daughter, I mean, that I tell my daughter, a lot of things I tell her, I hear her talking or I see she's chatting with somebody. And guess what advice she's giving them? I know she said, Daddy, you tell me too many things. You're always in my business. You're always the... Yeah, she's listening. She's hearing it. It's soaking in. You know? I mean, her eyes might be rolling back of her head when I'm telling her, but she's listening. Just surrounded by wisdom in this place. But you know, Egypt, look what it says in verse 5. Now, if you want to go the way of Egypt, if you want to go the way of the world, well, this is what you can count on. Look what it says in verse 5. They were all ashamed of people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. You know what's going to happen when you go into the world? You're going to have shame and you're going to have reproach. I mean, it's just a guarantee. There's Christians walking around today ashamed. They might not be in this building. And a lot of people are in this building. And we've walked away. We've done some pretty dumb things. And that shame, we carry it. We can't get rid of it. That's what the world does for you. But there's no shame in serving God. Hey, man, when somebody asks me, where were you on Sunday? I'm not ashamed. I don't feel any shame saying I was at church.
Amen.
Where were you Sunday night? I was at church.
That's right.
But if I was at a place where I probably shouldn't have been, there's shame.
Amen.
Because I know I shouldn't have been there. What else does it say? In verse 6, the burden of the beast of the south into the land of trouble and anguish. From whence come the young and old lion, the viper and fiery flying serpent? They will carry their riches upon the shoulders of young asses and their treasures upon the bunches of camels to a people that shall not profit them. Trouble and anguish. That's what Egypt gives you. God gives you security. He promised to prosper us. He's promised to give us wisdom.
Amen.
He's promised even this king that we read about. He said his fame spread throughout the whole area. God did that. I don't think he was going around saying, look what I made. Look at all my cattle. Look what I'm doing. I think he was busy doing what God gave him to do. And that fame just spread. People knew about him. Well, that's God. Verse 7. For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. That's their strength, to sit still. You know what? When you're out in the world and you get in trouble, I mean, as long as you're having fun and you're participating in everything somebody else is doing, they're always there. You got something to contribute to the party. You got something to contribute to whatever you're doing. Oh, they're always there.
That's right.
But what happens when you're in trouble?
Yeah.
They're sitting still.
Yeah.
They're not moving. They ain't going to help you. But you know what's been my experience? God's people, we don't sit still.
Amen.
Somebody calls out and say, I need help, and we get up and go. We're ready to help you. That's the way it should be. Egypt, their strength is to sit still. God's strength is Him. We have a choice. But you know what? Not only do we have a choice in this waiting for the Lord, but we have to be careful with something else. A smokescreen. We get deceived. Look what it says over here. Turn right there in that same chapter. Verse 9. Let's read verse 8 first. It says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. It says, and this is the rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. You know what happens when we decide to go to Egypt? We don't want to hear God's word no more. We don't want to hear His word. You're thinking, no, that's not going to happen to me. I'm not going to be as faithful as I think I should be, but that's not going to happen to me. I'm always going to love God's word. It doesn't happen that way. You stop reading God's word. You stop listening to God's word. It's going to happen. You're just deceiving yourself. You're going away from God and you're going into the world. You're going to stop hearing the word.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it's just going to happen. Look what it says in verse 11. In verse 10, it says, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not. Unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. You know what's going to happen? You're going to look for smooth things to hear. You're not going to want to hear that dogmatic preaching at church.
That's right.
You get to the point where you go, I'm just going to dab a little bit. I'm just going to party just a little bit. Okay, I've always heard nothing happens good after 10 o'clock, so I'll just stay at the party till 9:59. But you know what happens? You come to church on Sunday morning after spending sometimes Saturday night, and they're going to be preaching on something and it's going to hit you.
Yeah.
And you're going to start getting mad.
Yeah.
You say, I don't want to hear this. Why don't you preach smooth things to me? Nice things.
Right.
you're going to start getting mad. You know what's going to happen? You're going to leave. You're just going to go. Look what else says. In verse 11, get you out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. You know what else is going to happen? You're not going to want to have God in your life. You're going to want Him to cease even being around you. Well, you know, I think we need to see the choice. And we need to see that these things do happen. And we need to see the end. Because there is an end to this. Look what it says in verse 18. And both, we're going to contrast it. In verse 18, if we wait on the Lord, look what it says. And therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. Therefore will He be exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Amen. Now, if we go with the Lord, He's going to be gracious and He's going to be merciful. Amen. Verse 19, it says, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more, and He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry, when He shall hear it, and He will answer thee. Don't you want to get your prayers answered? When you cry out, don't you want to know that God hears you? Amen. You know, I do. Yes. So why go the way of Egypt? Because there is an end to this day.
Yes.
Look what else it says in verse 20. It says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and the bread... And the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eye shall see thy teachers, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Amen. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left.
Yes.
You know what God is promising you if you walk with Him? He's going to give you people around you. And you're going to hear a voice from behind you that says, hey, you're going a little bit the wrong way.
Yeah.
You need to come back this way.
That's right.
You know what this verse is telling me? That God knows that we sometimes get off track.
Yeah.
But God doesn't want to have us to have a train wreck. So we get off track a little bit. And thank God for pastors who tell us, hey, you're going the wrong way.
Amen.
You're getting just a little bit off track.
Yeah.
You don't need to be upset at them.
That's right.
They're not your enemies.
Amen.
Young people, your parents aren't your enemies.
That's right.
I mean, they're telling you stuff. They're trying to encourage you. They're trying to help you out.
Amen.
And we need to be careful to come to that spot in our lives where we say, well, yeah, but you did all that. It's real easy for you to say because you've already done it. Really? So you want to experience all the junk. Because somebody else did? That's the thing about history. You know why we keep committing the same things? Because we don't learn from the history. We don't go back and say, you know what? This guy did this and this and this. I mean, just read about that king, Uzziah. And that very next verse after it says that his fame spread all over the place, he said he had a heart problem. His heart was wrong. He thought he could do it all. He said, you know what? I can serve in the temple. I can do what the Levites are doing. I can do better. And God put a stop to that.
That's right.
You know, we need somebody around us calling us from the back and saying, you're going the wrong way. You better be careful.
Yes.
The problem with waiting is We just got to wait. But let me tell you, it's worth waiting for.
Yes, amen.
You might not get exactly what you think you should get right now, but when you get it and it comes from God, it's a whole lot better.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
So, we've already gone a few days in revival. And you're thinking, you know what? I'm still not feeling joy. Well, maybe there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that we need to get out.
Amen.
Maybe you just need to decide to do some things.
Amen.
Don't give up. You just need to wait.
Amen.
You know, are we going to push our way or wait on the Lord? He said, blessed are they that wait on Him. Well, the problem with waiting is we got to wait.
Yeah, amen.
But He promised to be very gracious.
That's right.
If we follow Him. He promised to hear our cry.
Amen.
If we follow Him.
Yeah.
He's promised to give us teachers that will cause us to hear a word from behind. It says, this is the way, walk ye in it.
Amen.
Man, if somebody promised you, if somebody promised you a treasure, If they had a treasure to give you, wouldn't it be a whole lot better if somebody's pointing and could tell you exactly how to get to that treasure?
Yeah,
instead of you wasting a whole bunch of time looking for it?
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly what God is doing. He's given us a church. Thank God for the church.
Yeah,
He's given us people in this church who truly love you. We're not all good people. We have our problems. But you know what? I really would like people, Christians that I grew up with, Christians in this assembly who I believe they're born again believers, and they're just not in church anymore. They just got tired of waiting. They didn't want to wait no more. They want to do it their way. Well, you know, that's not a good way. We need to wait in the Lord. Why? Because we can get blessed that way.
Amen.
If we want to be blessed, then we need to wait on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.